want us all to really be aware of what's happening here. And when you begin to understand it's bigger than us, you begin to understand, man, this thing is a God work by His Holy Spirit that is going to come in and do a work and rearrange and change lives. And you're just amazed at that. And I walk out my door early this morning. It's amazing because you gain an hour and I don't sleep well. Like last night, I just did not sleep well. Just run through so many different things. And just, I walk out of my door early this morning, me and my man Oliver, my little dog, he comes with me over here bright and early. And it was just such an amazing sky. And we come to a place to say, God, You are all powerful, and this is Your creation, and You spoke the sun, the moon, and the stars into being. And God, every single star I see, You know, and You've called my name. It's amazing that You put them exactly where they're called to be. And God, You know my name and Your Spirit. I mean, when we're really into this series on the Holy Spirit, man, it has reawakened my heart and my spirit to begin to again realize Your Holy Spirit is in me. And this week I'm like, God, I know You and I love You and I'm a follower of You. And that means Your Spirit reigns and dwells within me. There's moments that should just wow us. There's moments that should just floor us, that God of all creation and might lives and dwells within me by His Holy Spirit. It's incredible. There's moments this week that I'm just blown away going, wow, in me. Yes, I've known this, of course, lived this, but again, reminded and refreshed, God, Your Spirit is in me, dwells within me, abides within me, and that is, wow. Man, when you begin to understand as a church that if we are 550 strong, if not more, and we really understand God has a serious plan for us individually, for our families, for our kids, for our marriage, for our job, for our workplace, God has a serious plan for what He's doing through BC, and that we are all walking out in the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, realizing what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What on earth do you think we could do? Man, this is really a reality now. That when you understand what it is to come to Christ, and you understand what it is to repent, believe, and surrender, and you understand what it is to be a follower of Jesus, and in that you have the Holy Spirit in full, and you go to a place to say, man, Your Spirit reigns and dwells within me. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that power and that authority dwells within me. I'm telling you, I've had just some moments in this to be like, wow. I believe that God is always doing something. He doesn't do something different. I believe God does the same, and He uses people by His Spirit to do unbelievable, amazing, incredible things with power and might to do a great work to win the lost and the hurt and the broken, to reconcile marriages and relationships, to walk in a sense of forgiveness and love and joy and peace. I mean, in this series, and especially today, today's a pivotal point. When you understand what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you understand what it really means, that changes everything. It changes everything when you realize that empowerment of the Holy Spirit within you and walking in the fullness of what it is to walk, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in that fullness, it changes everything. It can change your home. It can change you as one who is a college student. It can change teenagers. It can change children. It can change a marriage. It can change direction. I mean, when you really understand the Holy Spirit is our guide, He is our lead, and walking in the fullness of Him, it changes everything. The commandment is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's a command. Be filled. And again, to realize the power and the authority, when you are aware of this and you plug into this, you understand, man, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within me. Like, what does that look like? How does that change us? Let's ask God to move in this place again. Father, we thank You for time of worship. God, this is Your word. It is alive and it is powerful. It is truth. And God, I ask that You would just direct us this morning in Your word, that God, You would speak to us today by Your word. Father, thank You. Thank You. Thank You for Your word. God, thank You for Your Holy Spirit who does dwell within us. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, for moving in us in such a powerful way. It's amazing that God, You reign in us. There's power in that. There's authority in that. There's leading in that. There's truth in that. There's guidance in that. There's wisdom in that. God, thank you for your direction. Father, speak to us this morning. Folks, please ask God. God, speak to me today. And I'll hear from you. I'll respond to you. It's a pivotal point today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I see some of you out there wearing your Ravens jersey. If I could have the ushers escort you. I'm sort of kidding. No, I'm just, you know. The blackbirds, they're evil, nasty, dark blackbirds that are going to fall to the ground today. Listen, Pittsburgh's got to show up, man. They've been struggling. We are hopeful, man. Come on, how about the Cubs? That was an amazing series. Love baseball. If you're a sports fan, like this last few weeks going in, they're just unbelievable time to be a sports fan in all sports. Incredible. Go Cubs. That was amazing for them. Great celebration in Chicago, man. Just awesome. Love to see that. You can't get a better game seven. I mean, God favored the Cubs because he caused it to rain. Momentum switched in the rain delay. That's 17 minutes. God can do anything in 1 minute. You give him 17 minutes. Wow. Amazing. So rain delay certainly helped the Cubs, and they went on to win, and it was just tremendous. Called my dad after the game, and he was pumped and thrilled, and it was just awesome. But, man, we're going to get into this, but I need you to hear this because we're really talking about what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, just think about that. Okay, God, I know from week number one that the Holy Spirit is not the distant cousin. The Holy Spirit is a he. He's a person. He's a part of the top three: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And then you understand that, yes, the Spirit of the living God reigns and dwells within me. I know Jesus is Lord and Savior. I have the Holy Spirit, and I need the Holy Spirit, and I need to be aware of the Holy Spirit, who is a person who dwells within me. And today we're going to look at this thing and say, what does it really look like to understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 5, two places, please. Ephesians 5 and Galatians 5. Ephesians 5 and Galatians 5, and just how amazing that this is. And we look at this in Ephesians 5, because we have to understand this. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. This is, again, this is a command. He's given us a negative and a positive. He says, do not. This is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, do not be drunk with wine. Now, what happens when you're drunk with wine or any type of alcohol? What does that look like? That means that you're under the influence, or that means that you are one who stands under control of that substance. Whatever that substance is, you are now controlled by it, because he says, do not be drunk with wine, or don't be controlled by wine, for this is dissipation. And this word dissipation or debauchery, whichever one is in your version, I use the New American Standard. This simply means to do something in excess. I mean, it means more and more, and the more you do it, the more damage it's going to cause. It's going to lead you down a wrong road. That's what this word means. Debauchery or dissipation means to serve in excess, taking in more and more, and eventually it leads you down the wrong road to corruption. That's what that means. So he says, do not, look at the comparison though. There's a comparison here on purpose. Do not be drunk with wine, for this is dissipation or debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. It's amazing that he uses something in a sense of control. Because when you really begin to understand the word filled, this is what the word filled means. This is incredible when you get this. To be full, to be consumed, or to be controlled. Alcohol, when you're drunk, it controls you. Listen, being a police officer for over 23 years now, I've seen this over and 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 again, that you understand that when somebody is intoxicated and they are drunk with alcohol, that controls them. Some may be laughing drunks, but it controls their laughter. Some may be angry or sad drunks, and they come into a place of depression or just get mad all the time. So it controls your level and ability to be able to function and drive in a bad, horrible way. So when you understand the comparison here, he's talking about the Holy Spirit controlling you. The word filled means to be consumed or to be controlled or to be full. Now, I love to compare scripture to scripture. So let's look at some other verses where this exact word is used through scripture. Look at John 12:3. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled, was full, was consumed with the fragrance of perfume. Same word. John 16:6. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. See, this is what it's talking about, being filled with the Spirit. Where have you ever been filled with sorrow? I want you to begin to see what this picture really looks like. Look at the next slide. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled or consumed or controlled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of that land? Now look at this, verse Acts 13:45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Again, Satan has filled or controlled or consumed, okay? Jealousy, have you ever been filled with jealousy or consumed by jealousy? Acts 13:52, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. When they heard this, they were filled with rage and they began crying out, saying, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Dang, this is a picture, same word, of what the Bible is beginning to define as what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit or controlled. Have you ever been controlled by rage or controlled by anger? Man, I'm not an angry person. I try to live in a place of joy and laughter and fun. And going through this message, I'm like, okay, was there ever a point in my life that I was seriously controlled by rage? Listen, there is a righteous anger and there is a sinful anger. Rage is a step above anger. I mean, when something enters in, it just controls you. And man, immediately a thought came to me is when I was at Liberty University, I worked on the carpet cleaning crew because it was the only crew that you're allowed in the female dorms. It was wonderful. Like, true story. They were real strict. No guys and girls, which was amazing. But I'm like, man, this crew, they go clean the girls' rugs. Like, I'm in. Like, come on, game on, right? So that's true. Anyways, so I have a boss, and he's a college student. We become very close. He's a baseball player, and we begin to really build a great relationship, and we have a blast together. We're kind of knit from the same cloth and just tremendous relationship. And then all of a sudden, there's an evening at one of the basketball games that something happened where all the power to campus was shut down. You're talking somebody hit the breaker to the campus and every light, computer, this is the middle of a basketball game, boom, shuts this campus down. You talk about a major, major, major issue. And for some crazy reason, I got the blame for this. We're talking, my whole life is being a police officer. My whole goal is, this is felony upon felony upon felony, talking jail time. This is a serious, I mean, you're talking huge criminal mischief to the breakers, shutting down all the campus. It was crazy. And I mean, I even had backup where, for whatever reason, the RA checked my room first to see if I was in my room. And I was. And it wasn't me, but for some reason, I'm getting called down to the dean's office and they're ready to expel me because somebody said that I did this. And it was one of my closest friends who's on the baseball team who somehow got in his head to say, let's blame Sean for this. And even the RA's testimony, listen, as soon as it went out, I checked his room, and he was in his room. That wasn't good enough. And you want to talk about I've gone through, when have I ever been filled or controlled by rage? And then I went to the cafeteria, and I found this gentleman. And we went into the male bathroom, and it wasn't much, it was one-sided discussion. It was a very loud, abusive discussion, which would, and I'm being honest with you, which would have led to, honestly, a horrible ending for him if it had not been for one of my other friends who traveled at Liberty with me from this area, who said, Sean, you better think about this, because you're really angry. And you're going to hurt him in a way where he may not recover. I mean, there was so much rage in me. And I never experienced that before in my life. And I never experienced it again. But it was the betrayal of one of your close friends who turned on you and made up the story that was going to absolutely, completely destroy my whole life and career. And there was just a switch that took place in me. Filled with rage. Controlled by, consumed. Luckily, he spilled the beans and was honest and came through with who actually did it. And I was obviously released from any problems with that. But it took me convincing him to make the phone call in my way. So, and then have you ever been filled with joy? I mean, controlled by joy. And then you go through and just, God, when is there moments in my life that I was just really consumed, overwhelmed, filled? That's what this word means. It's a powerful word. Filled with joy. Consumed or controlled by joy. And again, immediately, the picture comes into my mind when I'm at the front of the altar and this amazing girl with such beautiful black hair and this amazing white gown that was her mom's gown turns the corner to come walk towards me. October 16th, 1993, I look at this woman that is down the aisle and I just lose it in a sense of, wow, mine for life. Wow, I married up. It's a beautiful thing. But I was filled with such joy in that moment. It was amazing feeling of what it is to be controlled by joy, to see this amazing bride, Renee Frances Marie Prendergast, who turns the corner, who's about to be Renee Frances Marie Obergefell in just a few minutes, and to watch her turn this corner, and just there was something that just filled me and consumed me, and it was joy. And then you have our three amazing kids. You've got Carter, Olivia, and Ethan. Carter, Olivia, and Ethan, and when you have your children being born, there is something that controls you. There's something that fills you that is, you can't really describe. Wow. God, I know that you say that they are a gift, and there's a lot of amazing, beautiful children in the world, but when it's your own, everything changes. This is my gift that you've given me. And Carter, Olivia, and Ethan. And Carter, Ethan are okay. Olivia is the star pupil of the home. I mean, she was like the big bird. Right? It was like, wow, she's everything. Everyone else goes to the wayside when it comes to Olivia. Anyways. But man, when you understand what it is to be filled. I'm making a point here. Have you been filled with jealousy? Have you been filled with unforgiveness? You've been filled with bitterness. Have you been filled with peace? Have you been filled with love? Have you been filled with joy? Because when you look at Galatians 5 and he says this, I'm sorry, Ephesians 5, we're not at Galatians yet. Ephesians 5, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled. Be controlled, be consumed by the Holy Spirit. What's the evidence of that? Look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. We got to get this picture that the Spirit of God lives and dwells within us. But what is something other than that? Yes, when we get saved, the Spirit of God comes in and he indwells us and he lives within us and he remains in us. And it's amazing and it's wonderful. But what is it to be filled? What is it to be controlled? That's on us being commanded to say, Holy Spirit, that you would fill me today. That I would walk in your fullness today, that I would walk under your control today, that I would walk under your power today, that I would walk under your authority today, that I realize and I'm aware that you are in me, but in that I need to tap into that and I need to plug into you being in me, and I need to understand that I'm commanded to walk under your control. How many times do we walk under our own control even when the Holy Spirit is within us, but we come to a place and the word filled, it means to be being kept filled. If you're taking notes, write that down. It's critical to this. Be being kept filled again and again and again and again and again. Walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. What's the evidence of this? Look at this. You'll be doing what? You're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. A sense of when we're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, how you speak to one another will change. How you talk to one another will change. How you speak to one another in an argument will change. If you really come to a place, say, man, before I go into this discussion with my husband or wife, Holy Spirit, that you would fill me in this, that I'll be able to walk in such a way. Well, when we are discussing things that we disagree on, there'll still be unity. What happens when the evidence of what it is to walk in His fullness, that we are speaking life to one another and we're not speaking death to one another. We're encouraging one another and we're not ripping people down. We're not gossiping. We're not speaking ill of one another or slandering one another, but we're speaking up to each other and encouraging and building. What's the evidence of one who's walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit is a matter of what your tongue says and what comes out of your mouth. And the second part of the same verse in 19, and making melody with your heart. What is that? That's worship, folks. Making melody with your heart to the Lord. When you're walking in His fullness, there is a melody, man. There is a song that comes from your heart to God Almighty in worship and in joy. There's a melody in your heart. When you're saying, God, again, this morning, in my time of prayer here, I was all alone and just spending some time with God here. And I said, Lord, fill me with your presence, that I would walk in your fullness, that I would be controlled by your spirit today as I worship you and as I begin to preach and begin to minister, that I want to walk in the fullness of your spirit. Again, this series is just, it's renewed me to a sense of the power of what God can do through His Holy Spirit, whether it is healing the sick, whether it is calling cancer out, whether it is seeing God do an amazing work through His gifts, whether it is just an absolute complete surrender to Him, a refreshing to know and to be aware of what the Holy Spirit is capable of when we surrender to Him and say, fill me, that I would walk in your fullness. I love this. It says this, making melody with your heart to the Lord. Man, it's not, can I just say this? It shouldn't be difficult to worship the Lord. It shouldn't be difficult to raise up our hands and our hearts to cry out in amazing giving thanks to who He is and what He's done with a heart that is so full of joy, realizing, God, you love me. Jesus, you love me. Jesus, you put yourself on a cross and you bled red for me. It shouldn't be difficult to say thank you. It shouldn't be difficult to be able to worship and sing songs from a melody from your heart, crying out to Him. I mean, we have the most dynamic worship team. I'll put them against any worship team on the planet. I love these guys. They don't make it difficult, folks. It's not like, oh man, that was a really rough singing song. We have the best, in my opinion. I hope every church feels this way. We have the best worship team on the planet. They don't make it difficult to be able to worship God. It should be something that we walk in saying, God, that I would walk in your fullness by your spirit today to be able to just worship you, be amazed by you, that there would be a melody within my heart to sing out with great joy. Look at this, verse 20. What's another evidence of walking in the fullness of the control of the Holy Spirit? I love this. Verse 20, always giving thanks. Are we a thankful bunch? I mean, honestly, are you thankful for your spouse? Are you thankful for your husband? Does your husband know how thankful you are for him and what he does for you as your covering, as your protector? Well, Sean, really, he's not that yet. Be thankful and watch what happens when you honor your man. You watch his chest puff out and you watch him be able to have the desire to love you and walk in a sense to serve you and walk in a sense to be your covering spiritually because you have come to this place to be so thankful for your man. So thankful for your wife that she knows that she is the MVP of your world. Above work, above the children, above church, above finances, that your wife knows that she is the MVP of your world, that you come to a place walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that she knows her value and she knows her worth simply because you were overwhelmed with thankfulness for who your wife is and what she does. As a wife, as a mom, as a contributor to the home. What is it, folks, when you know what it is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, that there is a sense of being thankful that just shows up? Are you a teenager? Are you thankful for your parents and all the junk they got to put up with you as teenagers? Not in my house, of course, but in I hear many things. But are you thankful for a mom and dad who's brought you to church, who's trying to do their best to provide for you and to protect you and to say no when it's necessary to say no? and to allow it when they feel like it's okay to allow it? Or do you have, are you thankful for parents who guard you and protect you? What is it as a teenager to say, man, I know that I have Jesus in me and I know that the Holy Spirit reigns in me, but I want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit today, day after day after day. I want to be being kept filled again and again and again, continuously walking in the fullness, controlled of the Holy Spirit, that I will watch every word that I speak as a teenager and I will be grateful and I will be thankful for where I'm at and what's going on. Man, you look at this. It says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And it says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And it goes into wives, and it goes into husbands, and it goes into children, and it goes into fathers, all through, all the way through Ephesians 6. What's the life look like when you really understand this changes everything? It has the ability to change my marriage. It has the ability to change the relationship of my kids. It has the ability to change the relationship of my parents. It has the ability to rearrange my thinking as one who is single. It has the ability to say that you would lead me and that you would guide me. And then I just come to a place to walk in your fullness day after day after day. And you will see amazing, incredible things where the Holy Spirit just guides you and directs you in a way where you're saying, I'm in, I'm all yours, I surrender to you, and I want to walk in your fullness, and I want to be controlled by you as the Holy Spirit in me, day after day. It changes everything. See, if you're having marriage issues, be filled with the Spirit. If you're having issues with your mouth, be filled with your Spirit. If you're having issues and anger issues, be filled with the Spirit. When you're coming to a point to having a confusion in direction and what needs to be done and where I need to go, be filled with the Spirit and begin to walk in His guidance. What does it look like to be controlled by the Spirit when you understand this? When this truth sinks deep within your heart and your soul, it changes everything, folks. Again and again, to understand the Holy Spirit in His power and His authority reigns within me. Galatians 5, please, briefly, and then we'll close. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets the desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now by the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. We can go through the whole list, folks. That's the flesh side. And then you come to verse 21. Enviness, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice these things will not enter the kingdom of God. Verse 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a list. Can I encourage you to memorize this list? Because when you understand what it is to be filled with the Spirit, there's fruit. There's fruit with the evidence of what comes out of our mouth. There's fruit in a heart that understands worship. There's fruit in a heart that understands what it is to be thankful. But there's also spiritual fruit. What it is to really cry out to God and say, I want to walk in the fullness of your Holy Spirit. In my marriage, I need to be filled with your Spirit. In high school, I need to be filled with your Spirit to be able to break away from the things of this world. Have the power to overcome the things of this world. I love this verse. I prayed over my family day after day. 1 John 4:4. That we... greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Greater is the Holy Spirit who reigns and dwells within you than he who is in the world. What it is to walk out in love. This will change. I'm telling you, this changes everything. To walk in an awareness of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Power, authority, Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world, having the ability to overcome sin and temptation, having the ability to surrender our lives to him, our marriages to him, our children to him, our finances to him, our direction to him. And have a home that's full of evidence of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control for those who are led by the Spirit, for those who are walking not in the flesh but in the Spirit, for those who come to a place to really understand and be aware and to plug into the Holy Spirit who is in you to say today in this moment going in to wherever we're going, is I need to walk in your fullness and I need to be under your control. It changes everything. Can you just bow your heads just for a minute, please? Because and this is not just a one-time deal. Day after day, you're walking, I need to walk under your control. I need to walk under your power. I need to walk under your authority. And I would know what it is to be filled. I would know what it is to surrender to your control. Be filled. Be filled. Be consumed. God of all power and might, the one true living God has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within you. What does that look like? Let me ask you that question, man. What does that look like? Yes, if you love Jesus, man, and you are a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit is there, but have you tapped into him? Have you tapped into him? Say, man, I need to be controlled by him. I've let my mouth get the best of me. I let my emotions get the best of me. I've let my anger get the best of me. I've let jealousy get the best of me. I've let forgiveness, unforgiveness get the best of me. I've let bitterness get the best of me. And I just need to come to a place to flush it. And I need to walk in the control of the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I can let all that go. Then I can flush it. Then there'll be forgiveness. Then there'll be mercy. Then I'll have grace for those who have hurt me. Then I'll come to a place to know true forgiveness because I'm walking in the fullness of God by his Spirit who is in me. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for, oh, what a presence in this place. We thank you, God. You just would teach us and show us today what that looks like. Today forward, God, we're aware of it. We're crying out to you to walk under your control and under your fullness. God, it changes everything. It can change our homes immediately. It can change our marriages immediately. It can change teenagers today. It can change those who are single. God, it can change immediately. God, immediate results. You say, God, I want to be controlled by you. Be filled. Be filled. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Be consumed. Be controlled. Jesus' name.